You at 6:03. Flew Fitzsimons is the National Secretary of the PSA, Te Pukenga Head of Tikanga Mahi. Today we're talking about pay equity, which would put an average of $300 a week into the pockets of 90,000-odd families, lift thousands of kids out of poverty and deliver a far greater economic benefit than many of the government's current cost of living measures, plus, of course, reflecting back on the midweek industrial action as well. Thanks, Fleur, for joining us on the program again. Tēnā koe.
Morena, Dale.
Firstly, a bit of an update from the strike action, the industrial action. What was your feedback from around the motu, Fleur?
Oh, there was a huge amount of energy all round the motu. We had incredible support from members of the community as well, and lots of people tooting pickets as they went past, people stopping at the rallies to express their support for the workers. And yeah, I'm really pleased with the community support that we had for the 10,000 striking public servants. It's really clear that they touched a vein and that people were on side.
Okay, well, the point was made, but it will probably have to be reinforced because workers are used to being ignored, really, as this government tries to push the big end of town forward and, you know, raise capital in that way, neglecting the very real needs of our working class people who are contributing the bulk of the drive for our economy. So let's go to the PSA analysis that is suggesting restoring pay equity could lift around 11,000 kids out of poverty and put $1.4 or thereabouts $1 billion a year back into family income. So how realistic is this idea? Could you tell us about restoring pay equity? What would be involved? Will there be more money to distribute? Where does it come from? What's the gist of this whakaro, please, Fleur?
Yeah, well, I think that the thing to remember is that in May 2025, we saw this government commit constitutional vandalism and wage theft. Without any prior warning, without any select committee process, they completely gutted New Zealand's pay equity laws and they cancelled the claims of women that were about to be heard by the Employment Relations Authority. So it was a massive betrayal. But also what we saw on Budget Day 2025 was that Treasury itself had put aside $13.8 billion to settle pay equity claims. That's the Treasury estimating how much New Zealand women were underpaid and the amount of money they put aside to settle those claims. And really what that figure demonstrates is the huge amount of undervaluation and discrimination that New Zealand women face in the workforce. Now, instead of making sure that money got into the pockets of New Zealand women, this government pocketed itself and they used it for things like tax relief for landlords and tobacco companies and high income earners. So really what we're saying with this new analysis is that $13.8 billion that the Treasury itself said was for women should be spent on women, on their families. And when that happens, we will see an income boost for 91,000 families and 136,000 children. And the estimations, which we've based on the Treasury models, show that 11,000 children will be lifted out of poverty when their mothers get what they deserve and what was set aside for them until this government so cruelly took it. So really what this is demonstrating is the importance of pay equity, the value to low-paid working women in New Zealand, and it's part of our challenge to an incoming government to say, you must restore this money, you must restore these laws, and we must get this money into the pockets of working women so that their children and their families can start getting by instead of being the working poor and in poverty.
Well, sadly, they're not framing themselves as the sort of government that would support this idea. In fact, they're almost turning their backs on the real needs of working class people. Mm. The government's argued that the changes to pay equity were necessary for fiscal reasons, but the analysis that has been undertaken by the PSA is suggesting restoring those claims would actually grow GDP and create jobs. What evidence do you believe voters should be looking at when weighing up these competing claims during the election campaign, Fleur?
Yeah, that's right. Pay equity is fiscally responsible. It will create 13,000 jobs. there's a $2.25 return for every dollar spent. Now, that is better than the government's own policies, which they say drive economic growth. They can actually deliver on cost of living while growing the economy and doing the morally right thing by New Zealand women by investing in pay equity, by making sure that there is money set aside for working women who are currently discriminated against because they work in female-dominated groups, which are undervalued to the tune of $12.8 billion over 4 years, which is $300 a week for those advancing claims. So it really is the morally the right thing to do, but it also makes sense in terms of the government's books and economic sense in terms of the country. There really are no arguments against properly valuing the work of women. And the fact that we're still having to have this debate in New Zealand in 2026 goes to a real problem with the choices this government has made. They have chosen tax relief for landlords, people that own property, over pay equity for working women who work in our rest homes, who provide care in people's houses, provide care in hospitals. That's the choices this government's made. So it's really not acceptable for them to say that they're focused on the cost of living. They might be focused on the cost of living for landlords, but the vast majority of New Zealanders are missing out and going backwards under this government.
Well, tēnā koe, just as Māori, we need to hold our ground and push forward, kōkiri, women and kaimahi, wahine, need to rise up as well and to challenge the government stance here on pay equity. Now, when we look at the policies of other parties vying to represent the election approaching, are you seeking commitment from other parties to reinstate the previous pay equity framework? What would you say to them? And this is and should be an election issue. Are you hearing the sort of political commentary that this pay equity issue deserves?
We will be closely scrutinising all political parties' policies when it comes to pay equity. It's not enough to simply claim that you will put in the Equal Pay Act back into law without also ensuring that the funding is available to settle these claims. So we will be looking at the fiscal plans of Labor, the Greens, Te Pāti Māori, the Opportunity Party, to make sure that they're actually setting aside enough money to make pay equity a reality. It's not enough just to change the law. Women need money in their pockets so that they can feed their families and get by. That is the real test of commitment to pay equity, whether there is money set aside to settle claims quickly. And the care and support claim was about to be settled under the previous Labor government, and that didn't happen at the last minute. We then had to raise another claim, put it through the Employment Relations Authority. It was on the verge of going to the Employment Relations Authority before the government gutted the act and cancelled the claim. And now we need to see that claim settled very quickly. And the real test will be not only that you put the legal framework back in place, but that there's money to settle claims too.
Thank you. And just finally, Fleur, it's to do with MSD, the Ministry of Social Development. They've faced a series of controversies now, including payment errors affecting thousands of people, the winter energy payment mistake that prompted an apology from the Prime Minister and Social Development Minister, wrongful declines of food assistance applications, and significant staffing cuts estimated at around 700 roles, with more expected. From the PSA's perspective, are these isolated failures, or do they actually point to deeper problems created by under-resourcing frontline public services? And what impact is this having on the people who rely on MSD for support?
We are going to see more and more mistakes like this happening as the chickens come home to roost. This government forced cuts on MSD and other core public service agencies, including at MSD, more than 700 roles going, which is almost 10% of its workforce. So it is decimating MSD's workforce. So of course mistakes happen. Of course workloads are too high. People become burnt out and they can't do their basic work. What we saw is over 6,000 pensioners missing out on the winter energy payment. That has devastating consequences on those people. It's very unsettling. And you just can hear in some of the interviews this morning around New Zealand about pensioners worried that it's going to happen again. And unfortunately, they should be worried, because these cuts will continue to have an impact, not just in the next few months, but for generations to come. There is going to be a scarring of New Zealand's ability to actually deliver proper public services because of this government's irresponsible cuts to the public service.
Tēnā koe, and thank you so much for joining us for Kōrero, as always, Flu. Ngā mihi, and all the best for the weekend. We'll talk again soon. Mauri ora, kia koe.
Ngā mihi, Dale.
Tēnā koe, thank you.